Typically, the tone on Insight for Living is upbeat and inspirational. But we need to warn you that today's message from Chuck Swindoll may feel more foreboding and even dark. In the classic series on Abraham, we've come to a passage in Genesis 19 that cannot be treated any other way. It's here we find an aging father hiding out in a cave with his family. Lot's daughters devised a clever and devious plan to bear children by him. Their immoral acts would haunt the family for generations to come. And it's a warning for us all. Chuck titled today's message, Overcoming Depravity's Dangerous Undertow.
By the time Lot and his daughters have gotten out of Sodom, they've already deteriorated. This time in the cave is simply an enactment of what happens when the deterioration has taken its toll in the thinking and the actions in the home. These daughters have been allowed to grow up in that setting. Therefore, what they suggest to each other and what they do with their father is not to them in any way something shocking. It falls in line with a life of perversion. See the way they see it? Our father, verse 31, is old, and there's not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. And you know what that means. To them, their dad seemed like any other man, just any other man. And as a result, incest occurs. These daughters think nothing of it. And the personal consequences are revealed in verses 36 to 38. Look there. Both daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son. Wait a minute. Between verse 36 and 37, 9 months pass. Now, these two incestuous acts bear bitter fruit. The firstborn bore a son, verse 37, called his name Moab. It means from father, from father. She names the boy, announcing he came from my father. And the next one, Ben, always means the name son. Ami means my people. Son of my people. And by the way, if you know much of Jewish history, you know that the Moabites and the Ammonites became the implacable, relentless enemies of the Jews in ancient days. So what do we learn? By the way, a word picture comes to me that I want to share with you. It's the picture of an undertow. Don't know how much time you have spent near the ocean. A good part of my life I've spent on the water or near it. And especially when living near the ocean, I always notice the warning signs of an undertow, usually in red, usually large, warning the swimmers, don't swim here. What's interesting is that it's invisible. You can't tell as you look at it. For all you know, it's just a beautiful crashing surf. But if you get into it, it sucks you out. We almost lost our oldest son in a drowning accident that could easily have occurred if there had not been a man at a fair distance away that helped him know how to get around the undertow. He would have died at sea. And a good swimmer. Living in this society in which we live, it is like an undertow. It is. I say that not because I'm this age. I've been aware of it, of course, throughout my ministry. But I do notice that it is worse than ever. It is worse than ever. Incredible power that it has on the life of the young is just heartbreaking. As you witness it in this passage, gives us an example to draw on. You know, when we live in this day, it's like wading into the surf where there is an undertow. It's everywhere. You cannot move where it isn't. So it is present wherever we live. So let me put up a warning sign. Not just one, but several. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 4 of them, I suggest, as I close this message today. As you help yourself and or your family overcome this undertow. 1, realize no one is immune to the dangers. Realize no one is immune to the dangers. This means you. You. You with a theology degree or a PhD. I don't care if you've been in ministry for 50 years. I don't care if you're a godly woman that's taught a Bible study for most of your adult life. You're not immune. Your children are not immune. Or you in that successful business, you're not immune. Or are you who find yourself surrounded by growing up kids who sing the songs and attend church, you're not immune. Your family isn't immune. Even if they're younger children, they're not immune. It can happen to anyone at any age and occur at any place. I've known men to fall in their 70s. I've known children reared in godly homes, truly godly homes, most of whom turned away from the things of God. The undertow is strong. Be aware. Realize no one is immune. Never say, this would never happen to me or to one of my children. Never say that. Repeat to yourself, I am vulnerable. This could happen to me. May I be so bold as to say, think the possibility, this may be happening with my children or my grandchildren. Allow yourself to think, because no one is immune to dangers. Maybe my own spouse is caught in the backwash, the undertow of pornography. Maybe that's the reason that our lives are growing separate, or why so much of his life is in secrecy. Is an affair going on? Do you ever address that? No one is immune to depravity and the dangers of it. 2, stay alert to subtle hints. Stay alert to subtle hints. There are hints you pick up as you live in the family or as you spend time with friends. Among them, the toleration of the profane and the vulgar. The lowering of one's personal standards. What you once stood for, you no longer are quite there. Time is a way of blunting the edge. Choosing entertainment that's unwholesome. Ask yourself before you choose that, will I be a better person because I see this? Is this the kind of thing that will make me healthier? Another I would list is making light of sacred things. I don't spend time with people who make jokes of sacred things. My life is sacred things. I uphold them. I don't joke about them. Nor should you. Overlooking off-color comments, words your children pick up. We were living in another state. Our children were all much, much smaller. And one of our daughters came home from having spent a day or two at the little second grade where she was entering. And she asked me one evening, Daddy, what is oral sex? Second grade. That was back in the early 70s. Be alert. That warned us that we need to be very, very careful about our children, what they pick up, who they choose as friends. Subtle hints that your ears perk up as a parent and you think more than answering the question, you think about where it came from and why. As long as they are under your roof, they are under your authority. Now, how you deal with that, of course, changes as they get older. We all understand that. But never relinquish your authority. Never lower your standard. regardless of what is going on among those around you or around your family. Number three, declare and model your standard repeatedly. Lot never did this. He had no standard. Declare and model your standard repeatedly. I know a family that has in their kitchen a long list of things that mark the virtues of their family, and they work on them. They repeat them. The children have memorized them. They rehearse them repeatedly. Children don't learn to use their fork and knife by being told once. You tell them over and over and over, like picking up their clothing, like flushing the toilet, like what's appropriate to say and not say. You repeat it, you repeat it, you repeat it over and over. Why not do that with moral things? Otherwise, you will get outnumbered and you will be outvoted as they get older, because there are a lot more of the kids they're hanging with than parents they're living with. Pay attention to videos and films that you see. Look at what your daughters are wearing as they get a little older. Look at that. You're the parent. How much better that you counsel them than some teacher or some boy pick up on them because of what they're wearing. Believe me, it's a signal to every red-blooded boy when he sees a girl dressed a certain way. I happen to be one that has been a long-time subscriber of Sports Illustrated. I enjoy the magazine. I read it virtually cover to cover. I've also discovered over the years that they offer a swimsuit edition. It comes out every February. And for the longest time, I let it be delivered and then I toss it. See the cover, and I knew what was in it, and toss it. Lately, they've allowed the subscriber to call in and say, don't send me that issue. And the reward is that they'll give you an extra issue. Ah, that's a good deal. So you not only get the filth not brought into your home, you now get an extra issue provided for you. It was a great day, and I said to Cynthia when I did it, I've stopped that. She said, thank you. Thank you. It's important that we work together in the process. You are personally accountable, and if you are not, you need to be. Ask for accountability. There are people who love you and would love to be close enough to you for you to relate to one another when you're dealing with things like this, and we all must deal with them. The answer is not to move into some monastery behind a big, thick wall. Believe me, lust goes on in a monastery just like it does outside the wall. Lot's daughters didn't just start here. Oh, they worked up to this moment. All along the way, there had been erosion. So when they got to this, hey, why not? Number four, and I guess I want this one underscored more than any, guard against passivity. Guard against passivity. Ours is a filthy culture. It's easy to shrug your shoulders and think, that's no big deal. My goodness, they're in public school. Those kind of things happen. I went through public school and I turned out okay, which is debatable. Listen to what your kids bring home from school. Pay attention to the friends they choose and run with. Hold them accountable. No one else will do so as they're growing up. Only you. You're the only mama. You're the only daddy. It's your job. I've said for years, the church cannot resurrect what the home puts to death. We don't do miracles here. We work with the children you give us. And when I talk with our children's leader, sometimes I get a little embarrassed when he tells me how young they are and are already sexually sophisticated. Didn't just happen. It's parents that have become passive. I remember at a missions conference when I was at Dallas Seminary, years ago, seemed like it was 1960. I remember the speaker made a statement, four words that have stayed with me all these years. Passivity is an enemy. Passivity is an enemy. Say that with me. Passivity is an enemy. Christ was not passive about it. If we want to be like Christ, let's get rid of our tendency toward passivity. There's more in family living than being liked by your children. Cynthia and I to this day joke about it. Today, I think two of our four like us. And when we have three out of four liking us, man, we're batting really high. Sometime only one likes us. Sometime always for various reasons. But may it never be desiring to be liked, and so we keep our mouths shut when we see wrong. Our responsibility as parents, as long as we live, is to help our children remain accountable and to do so wisely but faithfully. I started with a Graham quote. I end with this. Don't fish for your keys. Okay? Don't do that. Sit and listen. In a declining culture, one of its characteristics is that the ordinary people are unaware of what's happening. Only those who know and can read the signs of decadence are posing the questions that as yet have no answers. Mr. Average Man is comfortable in his complacency and is as unconcerned as a silverfish in a carton of discarded magazines on world affairs. He's not asking any questions because his social benefits from the government give him a false security. This is his trouble and his tragedy. Modern man has become a spectator of world events, observing on his television without becoming involved. He watches the ominous scenes and events of our times pass before his eyes while he sips his beer in a comfortable chair. He does not understand that his world is on fire and that he is about to be burned up with it. That's passivity. Be alert. Pay attention. Step up. Parent up. We need you. Because there will be no one else that will do it like you can do it. For this very brief period of time when they're still saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and no, sir. It's your job. Do I promise miracles? I don't promise any miracles. Remember, it's a depraved culture. Some will still get caught in the undertow, but it won't be because you didn't give it your best. I plead with you. I plead with you. Remember, passivity is an enemy. Say it with me. Passivity is an enemy. Again, passivity is an enemy. I've never known a time when passivity was healthy or led to good results, ever, ever. Please bow your head with me. Serious talk, I realize, very, very serious message. There's no joke here. This is no lighthearted little monologue. This is heartfelt counsel from a caring pastor, a caring father. And I've made the mistakes along the way. That's why we're grateful for the reminder that our Savior died that we might live. Our Savior understands. He came to this sin-cursed, toxic world. He was crucified by those who imbibed the filth of the culture. They thought they were doing righteous things as they put him on a cross. What they didn't know is that his death on the cross provided us with a way of forgiveness. You might need to go home and rethink how things are. You might need to look real closely into the mirror and ask yourself, Am I saying what I ought to be doing and saying? Of course you need to be wise As your children grow older, of course you need discernment in how to broach this. But broach it you must. They are accountable as long as they are under your roof. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, who alone can give you the deliverance you need, now's the time to do so. Believe in him. Understand that his blood on the cross paid the penalty in full for your sins. And he longs to bring you into his family. But he doesn't barge in. He waits for your invitation. Let him in. Ask for guidance. Ask him to start at square one so that you might put yourself on your feet again where you need to be morally. The wonderful part of this whole message is that it is never too late to start doing what is right. Marvelous truth of God's grace is that Christ came to forgive sins, to give us a whole new reason to begin again. This is a perfect time for you to turn to him, trust him, rely on him, lean on him. And then you'll be able to enjoy the joys of the Christian life with other believers. Father, make this a very meaningful time of soul searching. May we realize that you have spoken to us once again from your word. May we treasure that and realize what a privilege it is to be taught the truth. But what a waste of time to be taught it without applying it. So find us faithful there and make this time exceedingly meaningful. Our Father, how thankful we are for our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for the price that was paid in full at the cross. Thank you for life that comes from believing and trusting in him. May that be a thought that encourages us through the week that unfolds before us. And may we remember it is because of that cross we are able to live above the dominion and drag of depravity. We worship you now. We worship him as we proclaim his death until he comes. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
In light of the degenerate behavior seen in this passage, and in light of the conviction we bear in our own conscience, it's important to lean toward the cross of Christ. And as Chuck Swindoll stated a moment ago, it's never too late to start doing what's right. You're listening to Insight for Living. Today's message, based on Genesis 19, is titled, Overcoming Depravity's Dangerous Undertow. It's just one of 22 sermons in the classic biographical series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To purchase the CDs or download the audio files, go to insightworld.org. When you order the entire set, you'll also receive a bonus CD containing a personal conversation with Chuck and the complete Bible Companion Study Guide. It's all included in one price. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. You might be listening to this program all alone right now, in your car or with earbuds through your mobile device. But actually, there's a huge community of folks from all around the world listening at the same time. Some by radio, others by mobile app or podcast. Many are connecting on Facebook, reading the Twitter feeds, or even using Pinterest. You can join the conversation by going to insight.org/connect. And right now, when you give a donation of any amount to Insight for Living, we'll be saying thank you by providing the brand new calendar for 2015. It's called Meeting God in Peaceful Places. 12 scenic photographs, 12 scripture verses, 12 quotes from Chuck Swindoll, and plenty of space to keep track of important dates. The 2015 calendar comes with our thanks when you give a donation of any amount. Your gift helps us provide these daily programs. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. And online, go to insight.org.
Deep blue waters, ancient glaciers, waterfalls cascading from forested mountainsides.
Find rest and beauty as you vacation with Chuck Swindoll, July 4 through 11, 2015, on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to Alaska.
When was the last time you lingered at the balcony of a cruise liner or counted bald eagles sitting in towering trees along the shoreline? Probably never. Until now.
This is the time to breathe deep and create memories. Get away to a spectacular place that points you vividly towards your Creator.
You and your loved ones will set sail with us on the MS Westerdam for a week of cruising, laughter, fun, the study of God's Word with friends from Insight for Living.
Join Chuck Swindoll for an Alaskan cruise, July 4 through 11, 2015. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events.
The Insight for Living Tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend.
I'm Dave Spiker. Enjoy your weekend and listen again Monday at this same time to hear the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Overcoming Depravity's Dangerous Undertow, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.